Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. I hope that you all had a really, really wonderful break and took some time for yourselves at the end of the year and the beginning of the year, and that it was meaningful for you. I'm excited to be here with you today, already our sixth class. I can't believe it. And today we're going to dive into part two of our Creating Awareness module. Creating Awareness is one of the really important building blocks to being able to catalyze breakthroughs, as we began to look at in our last session. So in our last session, we looked at creating awareness by reflecting hard truths. That's really what we focused on last time, which is, of course, something that on its own can catalyze a breakthrough, but absolutely reflecting hard truths is a skill that is needed if you are going to be working with shadow, if you're going to be working with befriending fear, if you're going to be working with rewiring negative thought patterns, if you're going to be working with helping to get someone off the wheel of self-sabotage, if you're going to be working with activating archetypes. Because in all of those types of processes, inner child processes, you know, anything, any of the fancier stuff too, right, that helps us support our clients to create breakthroughs, there's going to be a moment where, as the practitioner, we're probably going to need to reflect a hard truth. We're going to have to name the shadow or the fear, right, or the way that the self-sabotage pattern is showing up or where it comes from, you know, whatever it is. So we really want to hone that skill that we looked at last time. And today we're going to continue to look at different creating awareness techniques. We're going to go deep into the important skill of acknowledging and celebrating, both of which contain more than meets the eye if you're going to do it masterfully and you're going to do it in a way that's going to help catalyze breakthroughs. So I'm really excited to dive into those pieces. But first, I wanted to just do one little follow-up piece from last week. So, or last session, I should say. It's been a couple of weeks. So, like, we were looking at reflecting at a hard truth. That's the harder type of reflecting the truth. We got that out of the way last week, but I did want to mention that there is another way to easily create awareness for your clients that many situations are going to call for. It's a way of reflecting. So you want to, if there are going to be moments like we looked at last time that you're going to have to reflect the hard truth, right? But there are many other moments, and a lot of coaches and practitioners, any types of practitioners, skip this part, but it's really important. There are going to be a lot of moments where, as the practitioner, what's going to be most useful is to take a moment and pause and reflect back what you've been hearing from your clients. The reason is because a lot of times clients say important things that they need to be conscious of, that they need to be aware of. But even though they've said the thing, they aren't actually aware of it, or they're not actually taking it seriously, or they don't realize that they've said it, Or they've said it in a particular way that you see is like almost there, but not as helpful for them as it could be. So in any of those moments, you're going to want to reflect. So after a client either shares something significant with you that either they know is significant or you're sensing they don't realize that it's significant, or they haven't even like really grappled with what they've just said, or if a client has just shared something with a lot of details, you know, that it needs to kind of, you need to kind of bring all those details in, hone them into a potent message, that's a moment where you're going to want to do some reflecting and creating awareness through reflecting. And so it's very simple, it's very easy. What you're going to want to do is in any of those moments, you're going to pause your client. You're going to just say, okay, let's pause here for a moment. You might say either I just heard something very important from you, or you just shared a lot of things and I want to share with you what I'm hearing here, right? So you're going to ask them to pause and you're going to let them know this is what I'm hearing and I want to make sure that I'm getting it right. And then from there, simply you're going to reflect back the most potent parts that you heard. You're going to emphasize the most important parts that are wanting emphasis using much of the client's own language while also maybe inserting words or phrases that they haven't used to reflect the truth. This is such a beautiful, powerful, elegantly simple and effective way to help clients feel seen, heard, and loved, as well as to create awareness. Because again, sometimes a client may speak their truth, but even though they're speaking it, they haven't fully taken it in. And so then when we as the practitioner reflect back that truth, we take that pause moment, we create space to reflect that truth back, it becomes a mirroring technique that gives the client space and opportunity to deeply take their truth in, to really, really take it in. So don't underestimate some of the real simple techniques, right, for creating awareness. They can be really big moments, right? Just a moment of pause for a client to be able to hear what they just said. Okay, so all that being said, let's move into the meat of today's call, which is all about acknowledging. Acknowledging is a form of creating awareness. And we're going to look at two different types of acknowledging that are essential for human growth, for human evolution, for human transformation, and for breakthroughs. And the first way that I want us to take a look at acknowledging is to look at what I call honoring what is. Honoring what is. Okay, so what does this even mean? Honoring what is when you, as the practitioner, state the obvious or the not so obvious as a way of helping your client to feel confirmed and validated in what they're feeling or experiencing, or as a way of helping your client to know that they have a right to feel however it is that they're feeling, or to help a client know that they're not weird or strange or abnormal for struggling or with whatever they're struggling with in that moment. Honoring what is a way of helping your client to become aware of or connect more deeply with whatever it is that they're really feeling and experiencing, even if it's uncomfortable for them, even if they have a tendency to shy away from it or reject how they're feeling or what they're experiencing. Honoring what is can be a way of helping a client to accept their situation or themselves more fully or more deeply. Honoring what is a technique that can help a client to trust him or herself or themselves more deeply. And it can also help them feel more nourished. So these are all, hopefully you can see, these are all building blocks to breakthroughs. It is really hard, for example, for an individual to have a breakthrough if they're not accepting their situation or themselves. It's really hard for an individual to have a breakthrough if they're not connecting deeply with what they're feeling or experiencing. It's really hard for an individual to have a breakthrough if they're feeling like whatever it is they're struggling with is abnormal or weird or makes them inadequate in some way. Honoring what is, and this is something that's skipped over by so many people in the coaching industry, the self-help industry, the transformational industry. Essentially, honoring what is about honoring the not-so-savory, the not-so-happy, the not-so-lighthearted things that happen. It's about rejecting a lot of the love and lighting that's out there. And of course we love the love and light, right? And we want to embrace it. But it's about rejecting the notion that if we only focus on the positive, like the only way to get through is to focus on the positive. Because what oftentimes happens in our culture is, and especially in like the self-help and spiritual culture and all of that, is that we end up putting in our pursuit of the light, in our pursuit of happiness, in our pursuit of productivity, in our pursuit of things going well, we end up rejecting or vilifying or ignoring or making weird or bad the inevitable, excuse my language, crap that happens in life. And when we do any of those things, we put them into shadow. I'm not going to, the purpose of this training isn't to do like a full training on shadow. I won't go too much further on that right now. But just to say that when we don't honor our clients' full experience, not just all the amazing things that happen, but the hard things that happen, when we don't actually honor that, then we end up not fully honoring who they are and their experience in life, and then it's very hard for them to accept themselves and to move towards the light. So let me just give you some practical examples of honoring what is can look like, and then we'll go a little bit deeper more into like what this is all about. So for example, and it can be so simple, yet so effective. So for example, when a client is, let's say, sharing a story about something that went really wrong that they were trying to do, or something really awful that happened at work or in a relationship or whatever it is, honoring what is might sound like, acknowledging that, right? Saying, that must have been really frustrating, or that sounds like it was really tough for you, or that would have totally surprised me too, or I know you worked so hard on that, and it's so normal to be disappointed, right? A lot of times what can happen in coaching in particular is we strategize with clients. They work on something, it doesn't turn out exactly the way they want, and coaches that don't understand the importance of honoring what is, they just try to look at the positive side of it. And yes, we do want to look at the positive side of things that don't work out, but we also want to honor what is. Of course it's so normal to be disappointed, right? Sometimes I'll tell my clients, like, I'm disappointed too. I really thought that was going to work out in a certain way for you. Right? So sometimes honoring what is might sound like saying something like, it sounds like you really did give it your best shot, even if it didn't work out. Or honoring what is can also sound like, this is a little bit similar to reflecting a hard truth. Maybe a client is sharing about a relationship and it's becoming clear that they've moved beyond that relationship, right? So to acknowledge that, sounds like you've moved beyond that relationship. Just saying that, just that reflection back becomes a validation for the client that allows them to move into deeper acceptance and to have more breakthroughs around the situation. I'll give another example, and we'll get some more examples in a little bit too, but I'll give one more for right now. About a year ago, I was leading a retreat, and one of the participants in the retreat, we were doing deep, deep inner work around inner child and mother wounding and all of that, and I had a participant who was sharing, and it was clear that like there was a lot of wounding with her mother, but as she was sharing, what I could also hear through her share, which she wasn't really seeing and hadn't yet like fully taken in or accepted until that moment, was that even with all the wounding, she loved her mother so much. There was such a deep bond and such a deep love with her mother. And I just took a moment and I paused and I looked her straight in the eyes. And this is all I said, was, you love your mother so much. That's it. I just said it like that. And it was a total breakthrough moment for her because I honored what was, right? And it was like, even though she was saying it, she didn't see it until that moment of pause and that moment of honoring it. And she just broke into tears because, yes, she was feeling the pain of the wounds, but that was old for her. She knew that. She'd been working through that for a long time. What she hadn't fully taken in yet was also the depth of the love that was there, right? Honoring what is. So when we honor what is, when we acknowledge that in that way, our clients feel seen, heard, and loved. They feel a deeper connection to us as their practitioner, and with that feeling seen, heard, and loved, and that deeper connection, then they're willing to be even more vulnerable with us and themselves, which again is going to allow for more breakthroughs. When we honor what is, we honor the truth, and it allows then our client to see their truth, and then process that truth, deal with it, and take actions if need be. When we acknowledge as a way of honoring, our clients can acknowledge and honor their own experiences and feelings, and literally or metaphorically take a deep sigh of relief. There's no more pretending about what their feelings are. They can be in full honesty about what they're thinking or feeling. They can come out of hiding. They can bring some of those things that they've put into shame, out of the blind spots, and just see them, right? Because we have validated that for them. We've created that safe space in that container, and we've honored it. We haven't shuffled it, swept it under the rug, like what so often happens for them in their daily lives. So when we acknowledge by honoring what is, one of the things that we're doing is empathizing. And sometimes clients need this empathizing way more than anything else in order to transform and have a breakthrough catalyzed. Sometimes they need it way more than answering a question or strategizing or, you know, rooting them on, whatever it is. Sometimes they need the very powerful experience of being empathized with. I once read many, many years ago this sentence, which I really loved. Coaching is love in action in a professional setting. I'm going to say that again. Coaching is love in action in a professional setting. Good coaches or practitioners love their clients' strengths, their clients' visions, their clients' aspirations. Masterful coaches and practitioners love all of a client, all of who they are, all of their experience, all of their feeling, and they make a safe, they create a safe container for that full truth to be honored and to be validated. That is where massive empowerment comes from for our clients. And that is really so much of the building block of transformation and breakthrough. Now, sometimes practitioners can resist honoring what is with their client. Sometimes there can be a lot of resistance around honoring what is in these ways that we've been talking about. Why is that? Because the truth, again, most practitioners don't do this. This isn't commonly spoken about in the transformational industry, in the coaching industry. There's a lot of talk around like the rah-rah and focusing on the positive and the celebrating, and we're going to get to celebrating in this call too. It's another way of acknowledging, but there's very little focus on this. So why can a coach resist, right? Why can it sometimes be difficult for us as practitioners to really hold that space to honor what is? There's a couple of reasons. And I'm sharing these with you because I want you to really do some self-inquiry for yourself and see if any of these apply in any way for you. Number one, it really is a skill to be able to hold space for uncomfortable or painful things. A lot of practitioners shy away from honoring what is because we're not taught generally how to hold space for another person's pain or another person's discomfort. We get uncomfortable when other people are in pain. Another reason why some practitioners have trouble honoring what is because they can sometimes feel like it's a reflection on their work. If something isn't going right for a client, if something doesn't work out, inner or outer, you know, if the client is having a certain issue or whatever it is, sometimes a practitioner feels like, oh, I didn't do something right, you know, earlier in the session or last week's session or whatever it is. And so I'm not going to honor this crappy thing that's going on. I'm not going to acknowledge it. We're just going to kind of like gloss over and look at moving forward, look at the positive, right? So if you're making it about you and your performance, you're never going to be able to powerfully, with empathy and sacredly, really hold space to acknowledge, honor what is. Another reason why practitioners can sometimes resist honoring what is, and this goes back a little bit to the first reason, not knowing how to hold space for uncomfortable or painful things, is because so much of our modern society is solution-based. This is why I always say, you know, like the type of sacred depths coaching, the type of coaching that I teach isn't really coaching at all. Yes, because coaching is so solutions-based, and yes, there's a lot of solutions that get provided, but when you're only focused on the solution, you actually bypass a lot of the ingredients that are needed in order to be able to achieve the desired result, because you end up bypassing this honoring piece, which is actually essential to being able to create those results. You know, it's kind of like, you know, for those of you that are around children, I see this with my own kids. You know, if one of my kids gets hurt, they injure themselves in some way or get a paper cut or fall or, you know, whatever it is, if I try to go to the route of, you know, distracting them or telling them it's not so bad, or, oh, I'll just feel better in an hour or whatever it is. Like, yes, I am telling them some of those things. But if I just do that without first acknowledging, like, oh, that must really hurt, or like, ouch, ooh, that looks painful, or, oh, I remember when I was your age and I fell and scraped my knee, and that really hurt, right? If I don't, those are all honoring, right? Honoring what is in a way, acknowledging, right? If I bypass the honoring what is piece, my kids don't buy it. They don't trust me. They don't have buy-in into anything that I'm going to say afterwards because I haven't acknowledged the truth of how they're feeling or the pain in that moment, right? If I just go to the solution, they just don't buy it. They're not willing to go there with me. First, I need to empathize. First, I need to acknowledge and honor what's actually happened. So take a moment for yourself right now and just ask yourself, what are the ways in which, and you may be really good at honoring what is, and even if you're really, really experienced in honoring what is, still ask yourself this question. What are the ways where, for wherever you're at with this skill that you maybe sometimes avoid honoring what is, acknowledging the pain, acknowledging the discomfort with clients, with others, with yourself? Just take a moment and journal on that for a moment. Whether you're just starting out with this or you're masterful at it, right? We've all got places to push the envelope on this. Where are the places where you're still uncomfortable with it, where you still avoid it? And then why? For you, what's the fear or the belief, wherever you are still avoiding it or not leaning in, right? I know for some practitioners, for example, the fear is like, if I lean in, if I really acknowledge the pain, with the client, then we're just going to open up a can of worms that we're never going to get out of, right? Or they're just going to end up being so negative. Or I'm not going to be able to handle their tears, whatever it is, right? So for you, and again, even if you're masterful at this, right, just check the places where you can really lean in even more. Why? Right? Why aren't you? What's the fear? What's the belief there? All right, so let's pause here for a moment, and I'd love to hear from one or two of you, what are you starting to see so far that's important here for you? Or what questions do you have? Start to. What's becoming clear here? What are you starting to see? What questions do you have? Start to. Joe.
Oh, hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because I'm on my computer. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
One of the things that I noticed as you were talking about it, it came up to me, a patient that I'm working with, and I'm challenged by her, definitely. and have been doing much better in terms of, you know, looking at what filters, you know, that I have, and then also what filters that, you know, she maybe has. And, you know, something had happened where I'd seen her for like 10 sessions, and she didn't tell me after like a few days that she, you know, texted me and said, oh, you know, I have this, you know, I woke up after our last session and my, you know, I had pain in my legs and my calves, and do you think it was the acupuncture? And I was really, I kind of was like, whoa, like this is like 2 or 3 days later. And I felt like, you know, more defensive because in the way, yeah. And I was like, I know there's nothing that I did different. I started to really go through this whole thing and feeling more defensive about her, you know, what she was experiencing. And, you know, she said, well, I haven't done anything different. The only thing different is that I had acupuncture the night before. It was like a strange, even though I felt like I was being accused. And
Yeah, of course. Right. No, someone would, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, so how did you handle it? Let's hear, and then we can kind of like
back. So, well, of course, I'm like back paddling from like several days, you know, in terms of, and she said, oh, her husband massage, she was like cramping in her calves and stuff like that. And, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, we've done this before. You know, kind of like going through of a list of possibilities versus like the only thing different is this, because I really felt like there's something in our dynamic where there's a little victim-y stuff going on. And maybe she's also kicked in my victim-y thing too. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, that people do things to, are doing something to her. So when I'm, you know, helping her, if she, like her expectation or what she's expecting. So there's something there. There's definitely something there. So yeah. I really, you know, I said, thank you for letting me know. I didn't say, I wish you would have called me the same day. you know, then she said, oh, I'm going to call my primary. And I said, you know, it can be, it sounds like you might have a disc, you know, there might be a disc herniation or something. And I also said that, you know, like the needles that are not going in deep to do like really to injure. And like, it was like a thing where, but then I was like worried, like maybe did I hurt her? Or it was like a funny, like it created like a lot of doubt on my part of, you know, how I work. Yeah. And so I felt myself flipping back and forth and like still you know, whatever she was experiencing. And then at the same time, kind of like, I'm pretty sure that was not the cause, like it wasn't cause
so,
and effect.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so it sounds like there is, you know, there's a little bit of honoring what is here, and then it also feels like it's veering maybe into some resistance archetypes as well. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like for sure, you know, what she was saying kind of put you on the defensive and triggered you. Mm-hmm. And I think what I'm hearing is you feel like you didn't, you know, what you're starting to see through this call is like, there, if that trigger wouldn't have been there, there may have been some other ways that you could have responded to her, where you could have maybe honored a little bit more what is, But also, again, I think there's some other work here around the resistance archetypes. I'll get that to that in a moment. But first, let me just ask you, like, seeing what you can see now, if you could have taken your trigger out of it, what is something that you would have liked to have done differently in that situation?
What would I like to do differently? So this is an empowering thing, right? You're asking me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was feeling unempowered.
Yeah.
I'm recognizing the archetype.
Yeah.
I would have liked to and you're like, looking back, I kind of feel like it's like blurry whether I did something or not. Okay. But I know I was kind of feeling like, oh, geez, you know, like I went to like,
Yeah. So I heard, like, what I heard is that you went into defensiveness. Totally understandable, right? Like, and you told her, I don't think it could have been the needles and the, you know, like whatever the things
that's
were.
Kind of outlined,
right.
Like,
with that defensive energy. But
yeah.
If you could have taken some of the, you know, checked yourself like you are now and moved out of the trigger and then remembered some of the principles that we're talking about right now, today,
right.
Around honoring what is, one thing that I might have done differently is to first, before going into I don't think it was the needles and this and that, to say, like, I'm so glad that you're sharing this with me.
Right.
And it sounds like you've been in a lot of pain these last few days, and that must be really hard. Yeah? Right?
Yeah.
So just, right? That's an example of just honoring what is instead of going into the
defense. We did that at the end. At the end, I was like, well, thank you for sharing, like, thank you so much for letting me know about, you know, but it was real, it was like, yeah.
So if you could go into the honoring what is first from that loving, compassionate, acknowledging, right, without making it about you, just like, oh, that's, it sounds like it's been a rough few days and it must be really hard, right? Just that alone. And, you know, now if they've got bigger shadow pieces going on, maybe not, right? That's a different case, but just that alone, 9 times out of 10 is going to allow the client to settle in a little more and feel a little more connected with you and a little less accusatory, right? Yeah. Then from there, absolutely say, you know, let me, you know, I'm thinking about this. I want to be thorough, and I just have to tell you, like, there's nothing that I see that could have been from the needles or whatever it is that you're going to say. But then it's a totally different energy. It's not one of defensiveness. It's one of, like, really honoring what's happening, and we're looking here together at this, right?
Yeah.
So that's one piece, and I'm so glad you're bringing it forward because it so beautifully, like, illustrates the potential of the power of honoring what is. Now, if this is a client that consistently is being accusatory, if you have permission to do some coaching with them, you could then go into the protocol for the resistance archetypes, which you all have as a bonus that you'll get to after today's call, actually, is when I release it, because you need your creating awareness skills in order to work with the resistance archetypes. But it sounds like she's kind of a combo of what I would call the victim and the judge, you know, and so you can go through the protocol for that there. But thank you so much for bringing this forward.
Yeah, totally. So definitely. And then the other piece too is that she, you know, for me, she's African American, and so after listening to the other, like, the bonus about, you know, and I'm reading white fragility and kind of like getting a perspective. So I'm like, I'm on high alert. Like, how am I not Am I doing something?
Yeah.
So maybe there's like a lot of other things that are going on too.
I'm glad that you're checking. So it's so important to check your filters around that too. And I'm so glad you're keyed in to that now.
That's why this is like a hot, like I'm like feeling like, oh God, you know, like what else is, am I like?
No, but this is all good stuff. It's, yeah, I can feel energetically it's unlocking pieces for you. Good. Thank you so much for bringing that forward, Jao.
Oh, well, thank you. This is great. Thank you.
Okay, good. All right. I'm going to keep on moving on because there's a lot more that I want to share with you guys today. But I'd love to hear if you want to post in the Facebook group, or we'll have time at the end of the call, just other pieces that are coming up through looking at honoring what is, or questions or whatever it is. So just real quick before we move on, So how to acknowledge by honoring what is. We have already given you a number of different examples on the call today. Everybody has their own style and their own energy. But in general, what you want to do is, you know, first just give it space. Consider the tone of voice that it needs. Pause. Create a moment of silence. And then share the thing, right? Like I was just modeling with Zhao, right? Take a moment and pause. Consider the tone. It sounds like you've been in a lot of pain the last few days, right? Just honor what is, right? Or when I said to that client, I said you love your mother so much, right? Or that must be really hard, or whatever it is. Okay. All right, so honoring what is one way of acknowledging, which again is a strategy of creating awareness for a client. There's another type of acknowledging that I also want us to take a look at today, and it's acknowledging as a way of celebrating. So celebrating is one of the most important skills that you can have. It's incredibly effective and powerful in helping clients reach their goals and in creating breakthroughs. And we'll see why as we get into it right now. Celebrating, just like honoring what is a vital part of my own practice with clients. And it comes up in every single session, every single session. And I'll explain more about that as well. Okay, so why is celebrating, and when I say celebrating, by the way, I mean celebrating who a client is, what they're learning, how they're evolving, what their strengths are, wins that are happening. Why is this such an important skill in general and to be able to create breakthroughs? Well, because success and successful actions stem from what's working and what's going well. So I'm going to say that again. Success and taking successful actions and also being able to vision in an aligned way stem from what's working and from what's going well. When you can support a client by celebrating them, when you can acknowledge a client by celebrating them, when you can create awareness around a client's celebrations, their success, their amazingness, you know, whatever the situation calls for, you help cultivate confidence, self-love, self-compassion, hope, satisfaction. And then all of these things lead to motivation, to being connected to their inner wisdom, and to positive energy. leveraging clients' assets, which is also a way of celebrating, is way more important than fixing deficiencies. I'm going to say that again. Leveraging assets is way more important than fixing deficiencies. Now, again, to just tie this back to honoring what is not fixing what is. I want to be really clear on this. Honoring what is not fixing what is. It's honoring. When we go to the fixing, we go back to that solutions-based thinking that I was sharing before. Yes, there are moments for solutions, 100%. And yes, there are moments for fixing things, 100%. But it's not the same as honoring, right? And then here, when we're talking about celebrations, what I have found, and probably you have seen this for yourself, either in others or in yourself too, is that when we try to fix our deficiencies, we actually move forward way more slowly than when we work to leverage our assets. So I'll give you an example of this from business. Sometimes I'll have a client, and I'm like this myself, by the way, who just hates, sometimes I'll have a client who's incredibly magnetic, is a great storyteller, speaks in inspiring ways, all the things, but they hate being on video. They just clam up when they're on video. They don't feel comfortable on video, they end up messing up when they're on video. Well, you know, marketing these days, trends, they say like, you know, the more that you can market on video, then the more successful you're going to be. But if I've got a client who has a deficiency there, over the long term, we may work to fix that deficiency. We may work to get them more comfortable on video and look at the inner pieces, all the things around that, right? But that's less important to their marketing success than leveraging the asset, which is that they're incredibly inspiring. They're great storytellers. They have a lot of wisdom to share, right? We find ways to leverage those assets, whether it's through their writing or whether it's through voice only or whether it's through in-person marketing, right? I know that the client is going to get much farther if we leverage the asset than if we just rush to fix the deficiency. They're going to get further because the asset is stronger. It's just going to get them further. But we're also going to get further with that because when we leverage the asset, but for celebrating it, acknowledging it, it's going to help build confidence for that client, self-love, self-compassion, hope, satisfaction, instead of the frustration that often comes when you just jump to fix a deficiency. The other reason why celebrating is so vitally important, at least in the way that my philosophy on transformation and coaching, is that it's really our job as the practitioner to not only celebrate, like, yes, we want to celebrate the things and the moments and all of that, but I really believe deeply that it's also our job to teach our clients how to internalize for themselves the skill of acknowledging and celebrating themselves. So in other words, the coaching container is about the actual celebrating when it's appropriate, but it's also there to teach the client how to internalize that act of celebrating so that they can do it more and more for themselves. I think it's one of the vital ingredients to human satisfaction and to human beings finding meaning in their lives and to human beings being able to reach the goals that they want is if they have this internal muscle of being able to acknowledge the amazing things. And part of our job is to teach them how to do that. Similarly, by the way, I believe part of our job is to teach our clients how to honor what is, so that they don't reject, right? Like I was talking about earlier, they don't reject the not-so-savory things, but so they're able to accept their wholeness in it and find meaning in it. Okay, so all of this sounds all good, right? One of our jobs is to help our clients, you know, acknowledge our clients by celebrating. But the truth is that it's a little bit harder than it seems at first. It's not such an easy skill. You actually need mastery here. Sounds easy enough, but the truth is that it gets complicated because most people, unless they've done a ton of inner work, have a lot of trouble celebrating themselves. Most of the clients that you are going to work with are going to have trouble celebrating themselves. And this is precisely why celebrating is such an important coaching skill, because people really have trouble doing it on their own. But again, it's also what makes it challenging, because as the practitioner, if you don't understand the human behavior behind celebrating, as well as your own behavior and beliefs around it, then it's kind of hard to navigate the skills successfully with your client. If you don't understand the human behavior on this one and you don't know how to navigate it, then when you go to celebrate with your client, you can end up pissing a client off, shutting them down, having them lose trust in you, or having them silently, having them agree, but maybe with whatever you're celebrating, like nod their head, but they're not really taking it seriously. It's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm sure we've all been on the receiving end of this, right? Maybe somebody gives us a compliment or somebody celebrates something about us and we shut them down or we don't trust them in it or we pretend like we agree, but we don't really actually fully take in deeply what they're saying, or maybe even it's upset us. Maybe even it's pissed us off. So why do people have trouble celebrating themselves? Well, there are a couple of reasons. Number one, because human beings tend to focus on the negative and on what's not working. Number two, for some people, they get a really icky feeling when they're being acknowledged for something amazing. You know, the icky feeling might be, oh, I'm being too seen right now, please don't see me. Or the icky feeling might be like, what this person is saying isn't true, and I'm going to end up proving them wrong and disappointing them, or the icky feeling might be, oh, you know, it happened this time, but it's not going to happen again, right? And then I'll look like a fraud. People have trouble celebrating themselves because they don't want to set themselves up to be hopeful and then fail. Some people have trouble celebrating themselves because they're taught that it's obnoxious to think really highly of themselves and their accomplishments. Some people have trouble celebrating because they're scared of the evil eye. It's a really big thing in my heritage and Jewish culture. It's like you don't name the thing that's good because the evil eye is going to come and take it away. Or if you do mention it, then you like spit on the ground like you're erasing what you just mentioned. So to keep the evil eye away, right? It's like there's a real fear. There can be, you know, even if you don't have that as your cultural legacy, like a real fear that if I name this thing that's awesome about me or this incredible thing that happened or this potential or, you know, whatever it is, it's going to be taken away. Sometimes a client will have trouble celebrating because whatever it is that you're acknowledging, they actually don't think it's that good. They don't realize that it's an actual accomplishment or an actual asset. Like it's just so natural to them that they don't realize that it's amazing. Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because they have discomfort around receiving. And then sometimes people have trouble celebrating because our culture is so focused on doing that it doesn't actually value making the time for honoring and acknowledging and taking stock. So to be able, as a practitioner, to truly acknowledge your clients by celebrating and to have that be an effective strategy, you as the practitioner need to be able to feel comfortable both celebrating others as well as celebrating yourself. It's not going to be effective if you do it with clients. It's just going to be words that you say that are not effective unless you feel comfortable celebrating others and celebrating yourself. And so let's just do a little bit of an inner inquiry around this right now. Got a couple of journaling questions. First one, how and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? Take a moment and write on that. How and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? Next question, when you were celebrated, what was the motivation? So, for example, was the motivation to be truly supportive of you? Or when you were celebrated, was the motivation to pretend that everything was okay when it really wasn't? When you were celebrated by your family of origin, was the motivation to pressure you to continue to perform well? Was the motivation to compare you to your siblings or others in your family? Something else? So when you were celebrated, what was the motivation? Because motivation is important, right? I used to be able to feel it when my mother would celebrate me for something simply because she wanted my sister to hear it so that my sister would feel bad and try to catch up. Or if I was being celebrated just as a way of glossing over the actual crap when what was really needed in the moment was an honoring of what was, right? Next question. How did your parents or other role models celebrate or not celebrate themselves and their accomplishments? How did your parents or other role models celebrate or not celebrate themselves and their accomplishments? Next question, how did role models, parents, or authority figures respond to you if you celebrated yourself? So if you were proud of yourself or celebrating yourself or something you had done, how did role models, parents, or authority figures respond to you? Were they happy? Did they somehow communicate to you that you were getting too big for your britches? Were they scared that you might jinx yourself? Was there another kind of response? How was your own self-celebration met? Two more questions. The next one is, how do you receive compliments or acknowledgement? Are you able to take it in? Are you able to say, yes, it's true? Oh, I see that. Or do you deflect? Do you make a joke out of it? How do you receive accomplishments and acknowledgements of you? I'm asking all these questions so that when you work with your clients and celebrate them, you'll be able to recognize some things, you know, when they come up. And the last question for right now, and just be honest with yourself on this, do you tend in your own life, or, you know, with your clients, you can think about that too, either one, to focus more on the negative or on the positive, on the assets or on the deficiencies. If you are someone who naturally focuses more on the deficiencies or on what's not going well, again, different than honoring what is, right? But if you tend to focus on the deficiencies, it makes it harder to naturally celebrate when you're working with clients. You want to check that for yourself. All right, so I'm sure a lot of important stuff came out of some of those questions. I want to hear what's coming up for you, but before that, I just want to make sure that I share this information with you. So I want to talk next about when to celebrate and how to celebrate when you're with clients. So as I said earlier, celebrating is a way of acknowledging and creating awareness is a big part of my practice with clients. I do it in lots of different ways because it's just so important for all the reasons that I spoke about earlier. So for me, you can see which of these applies for you and can work well for you, but I kind of bake opportunities for celebration into a lot of different places. So first of all, in prep forms. So the way that I work with clients is that they fill out a prep form before each session. They submit it the day before. I have various different questions on that prep form. And one of the questions, I believe I shared the form with you guys in your member center. One of the questions always is, what are at least three things that you want to celebrate since our last session, right? So it's there's two purposes to that question. So number one, it lets me know some good things, right, that are going on, ways that they're moving forward, et cetera. But number two, by inviting my clients to actually do that prep work and to think about what is it that they want to celebrate and to write it down and then to share it with me, is doing some of that work that I spoke about earlier of helping them internalize the skill and the muscle, build that muscle for themselves. So it's baked into the prep form always. At the beginning of sessions, the first thing I'll do is, it sort of depends. It's not exactly this way every time. Oftentimes the first thing I'll do is ask the client what their intention is. But then before we jump in, we'll talk about some celebrations, or sometimes I'll ask about celebrations first. I'll either ask them, what is it that they want to celebrate, even though they already wrote it in the prep form, or I'll just riff off of what I read in the prep form, and I'll just come out and say, wow, it sounds like you've had an incredible week. I really want to acknowledge the courage that it took to blah, 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 blah. Or I'm so psyched that blah, 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 blah happened. Or, I really want to honor how you've really stretched yourself and blah, 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 right? And it might be something that I've picked up from their prep form in the celebration section, but it might be something that I've picked up between the lines in other parts of their prep form or an email communication that we've had or, whatever it is, something I saw on social media, whatever it is. But oftentimes I'll bake it into the beginning of a session as well. Of course, just as it comes up in sessions, right, as you're talking, as you're having your conversation, anytime that there's a moment to acknowledge and celebrate either a way that they've moved forward or a resource that you see that maybe they haven't recognized or something just beautiful that you want to acknowledge about their experience, right? Like take that moment. Sometimes a client will be strategizing, you know, a launch or whatever, and a client will be talking about this and that, and it will all of a sudden just through the conversation be apparent that my client has a real, I don't know, let's say strength in, I don't know, storytelling, right? I'll take a moment and pause, and I'll just want to say, like, you know, Jen, I don't know if you realize this or not, but I just really want to acknowledge what a powerful storyteller you are. It's amazing. Or I'm really, you know, I just want to let you know I'm so moved by that story you just told me. You're such a powerful storyteller. Or I'm so moved by blah, blah, blah. You know, you're such a loving blah, blah, or whatever it is, right? So just as it comes up in sessions, an asset, a resource, an accomplishment that they may not be realizing is one. Celebrate it. Oftentimes, if I'm working with a client, the beginning of a new kind of project, and we're about to strategize for that project, after we've visioned out, you know, what they want the outcome to be, what the project is, you know, all the pieces, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the strategy, one of the first questions I'll ask is, like, what are your assets here? What are the inner and outer assets and resources that you have that will really help you move this project forward, that will really help you be successful, or whatever it is? Another way that I really celebrate with my clients is, and I think that this is so important because none of us have enough of this in our lives, period, is I really make sure to let my clients know in different ways and through different types of acknowledging how much that I respect, honor, admire, and celebrate them. I really believe that one of our jobs as transformational leaders is to support our clients in knowing that they are a person of value. To support our clients in knowing that they're a person of value. And of course, there's oftentimes inner work that needs to go along with that because of messaging. You know, we need to look at beliefs and fears and shadows. Yes, but all and any of that can only be possible. It must start with us really letting our clients know in different ways that we respect them, that we honor them, that we admire them, that we see them as a person of value. Again, we do not get, as human beings, we don't get enough of this in our lives, not from most of us, from our parents, our siblings, our friends, our colleagues, right? And I feel like it's just such a sacred job as a practitioner, as a transformational leader, to create the space for that in our client relationship. Another form of celebrating is like the most obvious one that most coaching talks about, which is just cheering your client. I shouldn't say just, it's a great thing to do. Cheering your client on, encouraging your client, right? Everybody also needs a cheering section. Think about sports. I know nothing about sports, by the way. Whenever I use sports metaphors, I laugh at myself because it may not be right. You can tell me. But, you know, from what I know about sports games, home teams, when teams are playing on their home field, they often do better, not just because they know that field better, but because they've got more fans in the crowd that are cheering them on. And when you're cheered on, when you get that outside validation, when you get that outside cheering, you have more confidence, you have more energy, you have more belief in yourself, right? Like all the things. So, but here's the important thing in the kind of cheering on way of celebrating. Always do it with honesty and never exaggerate it. always do it with honesty, never exaggerate it, because then it just feels like, excuse my language, but it feels like someone is then just blowing sunshine up your ass, right? And you don't trust it. Like, you know, think about this yourself. You know the difference when you've been given a real, authentic, honest compliment or cheering on versus when someone is, like, just saying it and it's either exaggerated or it's just not true, right? You know it. You know it. We need to cheer our clients on and encourage them, but only in an honest way, not an exaggerated way. Then we're not trustworthy if it's otherwise. And then part of that kind of cheering them on and encouraging them is sometimes a way of celebrating our clients is that we hold their vision for them. So what I mean by that is that, of course, it's our client's responsibility to hold their vision for themselves, but any human being is going to have a moment where they've dropped it, right? They've dropped their vision. They've dropped their belief. And they need someone, they need us to help hold it up with them, right? Reminding them that they've got it, that they can do it, that we believe in them, reminding them of the resources that they have in order to be able to do it. The way of celebrating is so important. It's especially important when the belief of I can't or I'll never be able to comes up, or if the client is very risk averse, they need this too. Now, of course, we may need to do belief work with them as well, but this is still the build, you know, and we, if you want to continue to do work with me, we can talk about rewiring negative thought patterns and befriending fear process and all that. I can share that with you guys, but for now, like, this is the building block, right, just the being able to celebrate. Sometimes just a simple congratulations, right? Something amazing has happened for a client, and just taking a moment to pause and a real heartfelt congratulations. I'm so happy for you is the exact breakthrough that they need, the exact validation they need. Again, because how many times from other sources do we not get that real heartfelt, right? Without any other motivations, right? Do we get that real heartfelt congratulations? Or I'm truly happy for you. Sometimes if I have a client that I know is, you know, has a lot of issues around celebrating themselves, they've got a lot of resistance to it, of course we'll do like the deeper belief work, fear work, all of that. But even so, sometimes what I will still do to kind of smooth the way to make the celebration more effective is I'll just name the resistance. So I've got a couple clients where I'm like, you know, I know that you get uncomfortable when we celebrate you because X, Y, Z, right? I almost say it in a little jokey way. I know that you can tend to get uncomfortable when we celebrate you because you're scared it's not going to last or because you may not fully believe it. But that being said, I just really want to honor you for blah, 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 right? Whatever happened or whatever I'm seeing. Sometimes just pre-framing the resistance. Of course, you always want to do deeper exploration, but just reframing the resistance in a moment can just help smooth the way for them to really be able to take in deeply the celebration and own it instead of rejecting it. All right, so let's pause here. Let me just check the time. Okay, we've got a couple more minutes left. Let's pause here. I know I spoke a lot about celebrating. We looked in a lot of different places, take a moment and just write down what is it that you're really taking away for yourself, either around celebrating or just from this entire call, like what's really coming forward for you, what's really becoming clear.
for you. Right. In a moment, I want to hear takeaways and any questions that you might have. But I just give you your homework. So you'll have a worksheet in your member center to take all of this more deeply. If you're working with a practice partner or a coaching buddy, I want to see how much of these pieces you can integrate into your next practice session. So at least once, a celebration. And if there's a moment to honor what is, I want you to also practice honoring what is. I want to remind you that our call next week, we're moving into our last module for the program, which is our breakthrough questioning module, which I'm really excited about. But I want to remind you that our call next week is longer. It's a 2-hour call. I'm stuffing a lot into next week's call. So hopefully you'll be able to join me for our full 2 hours. All right, we've got a couple of minutes left. I'd love to hear takeaways, what's coming through, what you're seeing, or any questions that you have for me or places that you might be stuck. Star 2. Anyone want to share? All right. Belinda.
Thank you. I really appreciate this today. I do a really wonderful job of naming what's there because I'm really comfortable with the uncomfortable, but the celebrating part, both within myself and others, is so difficult. It's like bringing me to tears just about like how deep this is for me. And so I really appreciate this because that if I can't do it for myself, I cannot help do that for my clients.
Yeah, I'm getting chills as you're talking. I can really feel like something is cracking here for you. It feels like you're seeing something really important. That's important not just for your clients, but actually I feel like this is exactly what you need for yourself.
What I see is like the positive side is not celebrating. It's what will help me drive. Helps me to keep, like, my inner critic helps me move and keep perfecting or doing more. But the downside is it doesn't allow me to rest and accept what I've done.
Yes, and that's oftentimes the case for people who are so good at what they do, and I sense that you are, is that we let the critic have a bigger place than it's meant to. Because there's a belief that we'll get too lax or too lazy if we actually celebrate ourselves and acknowledge the good.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's more about doing and not who I am.
Yes. So for you, based on all of this, there's a couple things if you want to go deeper that I would recommend. So number one, if you want to just make a daily practice of celebrating yourself. And what I'd say is because of this last piece that you just said, which I think is really important, who you are versus what you do, I don't want you to celebrate what you're doing every day. I want you to celebrate who you are, aspects of yourself that showed up during the day that you really want to appreciate, that you really want to honor, that you really want to celebrate. If you want, you can write down like the stuff that happened. but I want you to also focus on the who you are piece.
Okay.
Right? And then the other thing is you could, there's lots of things, but I think the quickest thing for me to explain in this moment is you just do some journaling on that belief, right? If I allow myself to, tell me if I'm getting this right. You didn't say these exact words, but tell me if not, we can change the words. But I think what I heard in there is like, if I allow myself into relax into what's good, everything will fall apart. Is that it? Or is there a better wording there?
I don't know if everything will fall apart, but maybe I think more is there won't be enough.
There won't be enough. Good. So journal on that belief. See what wants to come through. See where it came from originally, how it shows up. Like, start really looking at it more deeply.
Okay, I can do that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm so glad all that's coming through. Good. All right, we're at time. I would love to hear more of your takeaways, what's coming through, what's coming up. Questions, please post them in the Facebook group. Let me know. And I'm thinking about all of you, and I can't wait to be with all of you next week for 2 hours. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.